Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, it is. And before we start, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you and Stone did yesterday?
Yes, yesterday, big day for Business Radio X and Atlanta Business Radio. We got the opportunity to be the first live radio broadcast for a non-sports event at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the end zone, interviewing the folks at FinTech South.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really an amazing experience. They had FinTech South's one of the largest financial technology conferences in the world, probably. Atlanta, a lot of people don't know, 70% of all transactions, credit card transactions or money processing, happens through Atlanta, Georgia, one of the companies that are here. And a lot of them were at this event. We had the opportunity, we interviewed the folks at Cabbage, Carvana, the president of Tag. We interviewed folks, Ernst & Young, First Data, a lot of the people that are making financial technology happen and happen to be there. And people from all over the world. We interviewed people from Britain, Scotland. It was really an amazing event.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys had fun. Do you know how many interviews you did in total?
I think 21 interviews throughout the day. It was great. We started at 8 in the morning, didn't finish till after 5. Nonstop.
Man, well, nice.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing compared to what's going to happen here today.
Right, of course.
This
the real magic,
happens starting now. So we're going to kick off with Adam Araujo with Trinet. Welcome, Adam.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. And, you know, I'm just excited to, you know, really set the bar high from where you guys were at yesterday.
You know, so we interviewed some smart folks, but, you know, nobody was doing what you're doing.
No. I'm glad to actually, you know, be the bearer of bad news. No.
So why don't you talk a little bit about what you are doing? How are you serving folks at Trinet?
Yeah, so I specifically work with technology clients, and what we do is provide a HR infrastructure for them to grow on. So we've worked with Snapchat, Netflix, WhatsApp, Dollar Shave Club, a little bit more local for Atlanta, Cabbage. Funny you interviewed them, Ground Floor. Ionic, Pin Drop Security, a whole bunch of, you know, really cool forward thinking companies. That's really what we work with, and just give them an infrastructure to grow on and help them scale and grow.
So now I've heard the term PEO associated with Trinet. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So essentially what a PEO is where it stands for, Professional Employer Organization. And what we do is use our economy of scale, our size, to give, you know, the small to mid-sized businesses, those Fortune 500, Fortune 50 feel. So when they're going out into the marketplace trying to get those, you know, top candidates, especially with, you know, Amazon possibly moving here, they want to be able to help compete in the marketplace for talent. And so we give them a platform to be able to do so.
So now walk me through how it works. So like I have a technology firm and I got maybe a handful of employees. Maybe I just got some funding. Mm-hmm. So instead of hiring those people directly under my company's name, I call Trinet.
No, so they're your employees.
Work?
Yeah,
right.
We're a co-employer. So you know, it's all co-branded. They're, you know, you have, you know, everything that you want to do with your employees. You have total control over that. There's
right.
Nothing.
But from a benefit standpoint, that becomes your problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have compliance over all of that, all the compliance from an HR standpoint, from your benefits, you know, workers' comp, all that stuff. Like, we'll take compliance over and, you know, we'll help, you know, move the company through that, those stages as they go on. Because a lot of the times when people start their companies, they're really good at starting their companies and doing what
right.
they do best.
And there's a million laws and rules
for
HR that I can't fit. Know about?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, and that's the thing too. It's a lot of people don't know exactly what those are.
Right.
I mean, you could have someone that went to school for HR and then, you know, as soon as they get out, it's obsolete because
There's new rules.
Right. Exactly. And so we kind of help you stay on top of that. We give you a team that works directly and specifically with you. So when you call in, there's no phone tree or anything. It's specifically for your company, and you know, I'm on a first name basis. So it's
right. Cool. So now, so me as the leader of the company, I call my Trinet person. Mm-hmm. And then you deal with all the benefit, all the kind of mm-hmm. the rules and regulations, make sure the payroll is correct and all the laws are being followed properly.
Right, exactly. So all that stuff's handled. Personally, I don't handle it.
Hope that I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell that wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it's,
stay in your lane.
Absolutely. I just stay in my lane. That's exactly what I do.
So now your role is out there finding the opportunities for TriNet, the clients that are a good fit.
Yeah, just helping to build the relationship and rapport up in the community, and just finding those clients and prospects and helping them out, essentially.
So you spend a lot of your time in co-working spaces and incubators, accelerators, networking in the startup world, I guess?
Yeah, so especially with me being in technology, especially with Atlanta being one of the tech hubs, right? Mm-hmm. It's really started to scale out and grow, and I'm excited to be a part of that with a lot of the co-working spaces we have relationships with, really, you know, long-standing relationships, and it's definitely a benefit to them for sure.
And then, so what's a typical day for you?
So I'll start the day with phone calls, going on social media, probably calling some of the people who listen to the show.
Probably.
That's why your phone's not blowing up right now, because I'm talking on here.
You can go down our guest list, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And really just trying to get in touch with them. And a lot of people don't know what a PEO is. And that's really what my job is, just kind of spreading the word like, hey, you're doing it this way. It might be working out for you now, but this is a better way of doing it. It's proven. And, you know, you don't have to deal with the, all of the tactical, you know, stuff that goes on that just takes up and has so much noise in your organization. Right. We just kind of help eliminate that so that we can focus on the strategy. And
now, like, you mentioned some of your benefits are that you can help us offer more benefits than maybe I, as an individual small company, could afford. I can leverage kind of your vast size in order to.
Yeah. So that's exactly what we try to do, is we use our size to help those companies get that Fortune 500 feel, right? So if you're coming in with a 10-employee company, you don't look like a 10-employee company when you're going to benefits with us. You look like a 300,000 plus.
So like, what's an example of a benefit I can offer if I work with TriNet that maybe I couldn't afford if I was by myself?
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, we're not for everyone, right? And right. So neither is health benefits. But I mean, you could have your short-term disability, long-term disability, health benefits, dental, vision, all that stuff, right? It's just a matter of, is this something that you're trying to scale and grow? Because our target market are those forward-thinking companies that mm-hmm. are trying to get traction with that.
So now, do you have any stories you can share of maybe you started working with a company when they were smaller and now they're bigger?
Personally, not ones that I've worked with, but there's a lot of companies that my partner has worked with, and she's seen them scale and grow. I can name a few big ones that a lot of people would know. Netflix and Snapchat, when they were 3 and 6 employees,
wow.
They used us as their platform, and now, I mean, everyone knows.
You connect the dots, so you sign up for TriNet. The sky's the limit, right?
Absolutely. You're going to get acquired. No, I'm just playing. There's a disclaimer after this.
But it's one of those things where, because you helped them focus on what they did well, they didn't have to worry about this, so they could spend their energy growing.
Absolutely. And, you know, more recently, I'm working with a company who they're about a 200 employee company. And, you know, a lot of their employees are coming from out of country. And so, you know, we help that with our technology platform. You know, we help with the immigration management, the applicant tracking, mm-hmm. expense management, so on and so forth. And, you know, that just takes a lot off of their plate. So that way, like I'd mentioned before, they focus on all that strategic goals, like scaling, growth, right. Maybe merger and acquisition, if that's, you know, in their growth plans.
So now, what is so if you were to draw up the perfect prospect, what does that profile look like?
Snapchat. No. No, just a forward-thinking company that's trying to scale and grow. And
how many employees do they have right now?
It really doesn't matter. I mean, like I mentioned, Snapchat and Netflix, they had like three to seven when they started. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work with one employee companies as well, because, you know, underneath a lot of the guidelines, a one employee company isn't necessarily recognized as a company, at the end of the day. And so, you know, we just help those companies get, you know, their foot and their footing. And so that way they have a platform to grow.
So, but for you, the ideal customer, they would have some funding already. They would have like $1 million. Would they have,
Like I said, it really just depends because it depends on employee size. It depends on, there's a lot of different factors. Every business is different. And so it would really just depend on what they're trying to accomplish. And like I mentioned, not everyone's a fit for us.
Right.
It would just have to have like those conversations and, you know, ask those questions like, hey, are we a fit? Would this work? How does your company look in the next 6 months, 12 months? What does growth look like for you?
And then for you to get them to onboard somebody, how long does that typically take?
That's a 15-day window to get all, everything going and moving and shaking.
Now, is there a time of the year? Is this something I should wait till after taxes? I should wait until January?
You know, a lot of companies think that. But I mean, we're one of the largest PEOs. I think we're like the second largest PEO. We have a lot of stuff that we can do to help offset that. So if you've already paid into your taxes and, you know, you obviously don't want to start over again, right? Like we have, you know, ways to, you don't have to
onboard that where,
right,
you've probably seen this a million times, so it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of stuff that's in place already that you don't have to worry about any of that. A lot of people wait till the renewals of their health benefits because obviously, you know, that we do the health benefits as well. We give you benefits that Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies have.
Right.
And, you know, that's just kind of, you know, what they're comfortable with. They don't necessarily have to because, it's just part of the process, I guess.
Now, you specialize, you mentioned, in technology firms. Does TriNet do other verticals as well? Do they do manufacturing? Do they do supply chain? Or are there other people on the TriNet team that specialize in those other industries?
Yeah, so we went verticalized or industry, you know, specific, I believe maybe last year. And
we meaning TriNet as an entire company?
Yeah. And so really the only difference is in it between those different industries that we work with, because we have nonprofits, we have those, you know, financial services, we have technology, we have professional services, right? And every company with their NAICS code kind of falls in with that. And what we do, and each one has a different offering, right? I specifically focus on tech. I couldn't tell you all the other ones that they work
with. But there's some people, maybe there's a nonprofit person.
Oh, yeah.
That knows everything about all nonprofits. So.
Absolutely. So funny you mentioned it. We were actually working with a company that we thought was tech. And then they're like, no, we're nonprofit. And so we just pivoted, brought the nonprofit person in there.
Right. And they're experts in that.
Absolutely. And so that's kind of where we kind of, you know, set ourselves apart is, you know, we're not kind of, you know, the one man band playing, you know, 10 right. different instruments. So that way you can have those conversations with those business owners, those C-level executives, and you know, just be able to understand what their needs are, especially right. industry-wide.
So now you work with technology companies. Do you work also with creative companies like advertising agencies, marketing agencies, things like that as well? Or is it only technology?
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, podcasts. I mean, you know, we also work with them too. So,
so you work with all types of companies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah. You can either reach out to me by email or I guess put my email is adam.arahu@trinet.com. That's adam.arahu@trinet.com.
And trinet.com is the website. You can go there and learn.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of information. Everything's, like I said, verticalized or industry specific on there as well.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
All right. Next up, Katie, excited? We're on next up time.
I'm so excited. Oh my gosh.
All right. Next up, we got from Welcome Mat Services, Stephen Petmiller. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
So what'd you think of the last guy?
Oh, fantastic. Okay, man. Right? Yeah, he's smart. He connects the dots. I get it. I get that. Yeah.
Set the bar high.
All right. So Welcome Mat Services, that's your business. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. So Welcome Mat Services has been around well over a decade. And basically, it's a company that connects the best and sort of established local businesses to new mover residents in particular. So it's direct marketing. And then there's also some other services that we can offer businesses so they can really hone in and target the types of customers that they're going to want to grow their business.
So now the new mover is the person, I just move into an area. I don't know where anything is. I don't know where the good pizza place is. I don't know who the good doctor is. And then you have an offering that puts information in front of me to help tell me, hey, consider these folks.
That's exactly right. And you know, if you think about it, every year in the US, there's about 43 million people that move. And
43 people move?
43 million people.
43 million people
right.
every year.
Every year.
Is moving somewhere in this country.
Somewhere in this country, changing their residence. Wow. And this is the big opportunity for a lot of local businesses, because shortly after you move, you're rushing to establish over 70 new local relationships. You're trying to find that pizzeria. You're trying to get your new
dentist.
That's
my priority.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even move if there wasn't good pizza. Like, I would change neighborhoods.
It is table stakes for a neighborhood, right? You've got to find
Are there go-to things that people move for? Well, I'm sure schooling.
Schooling is
if
a big
I had
one.
A kid that was in school, that would be important, but it's not. So pizza has now become number one.
Pizza is key. You know, the key thing, though, is that, you know, in like 90% of the cases, when people move, they move up. You know, they want
to... What does move up mean? Like a nicer, bigger house?
Or a nicer, bigger house, or at least they want to create a better life, typically. So better habits, better relationships, mm-hmm. those types of things. Even retirees typically want to at least maintain or improve their discretionary spend.
Right.
They may shrink the
household. The house might be smaller, but the environment might be nicer.
Bingo. And, you know, we see this. I mean, we see this actually in the first 6 months after someone moves. They spend as much as an established resident would over 3 years. So
wow.
they're jumping out there. They're spending more money on dining out. Maybe they're taking on a new fitness regime or what have you, you know, fitness plan. And so this is an opportunity for local businesses to really capitalize.
So now, how do you work with the local businesses?
Sure. So that's where I come in. I go around and talk to a number of local businesses in sort of the North Atlanta area.
So you have a territory?
I do.
This is a franchise?
It is a franchise, yes. There's about 65 franchises nationwide in about 20 markets. I have the North Atlanta franchise, 10 different zip codes.
And what's the area, what quadrant of Atlanta is North Atlanta?
Pretty much down to sort of Midtown and up to Sandy Springs, Dunwoody, over to Doraville.
That's North Atlanta? I guess your people haven't been to Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, Atlanta. So most of mine is just in the perimeter.
So it's inside the perimeter.
Plus a little bit outside the perimeter. Sandy Springs, Dunwoody.
Right. Yeah. So into Dunwoody.
That's right.
But so Brookhaven?
Absolutely.
So you got Brookhaven. So that's a good spot. You have a good area.
Fantastic. Yeah. No,
a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah. And actually Brookhaven is you know, one of my stronger performing areas. It's the fastest growing zip code in Atlanta is 30319.
Wow.
And, you know, Atlanta is a net importer to begin with of individuals and families. And
so residents. More people are moving here than are moving out of here?
That's correct. Yes.
You know, I actually was looking at a house over there too.
At Brookhaven?
Yeah, in Brookhaven. So
he knows where all the good stuff is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now, so a lot of people are moving to that part. That's, you know, our producer, Katie Galley, went to school in Oglethorpe.
Yeah, the 30319.
Which is in the heart of Brookhaven.
Yeah.
That's probably the symbol of Brookhaven is the Oglethorpe campus.
Really? You would say that?
I would say that.
You would?
For you.
People, for me, yeah. I mean, people recognize it from like being a castle from the road, but nobody actually knows it's a school. So
right. With a nice baseball field right there behind the
exactly.
wall. And I live in Brookhaven. So
okay.
It's right
so you know.
I thought it was medieval times.
Yeah. Like Hogwarts.
Right,
to get
exactly.
it all.
I thought that's where they Sign. Filmed Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That's what
exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So when you're serving these companies, so you're telling them, dude, you better put your thing in front, because these people, you only get one shot at being the first restaurant to try, right? And most
That's
people
exactly right.
get in the habit of once they like something, it's not like they're trying five more things, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, to that point, the new mover residents, they're five times more likely to become loyal customers than someone that's already been in the neighborhood. And then you open up a pizzeria.
Right. And now you're another one.
Right. Because you're trying.
Now you got to beat the incumbent.
Exactly right. Right. So you get people right after they move in. And Welcome at Services is a bunch of ex-big data guys. And they basically have it down where they time it about 4 weeks after someone moves, so they got the boxes cleared out and what have you. And that's really the sweet spot for when you're then
when
trying
they're,
to
they're going to try new things.
That's right.
So now, what are some examples of businesses that are appropriate for Welcome Mat?
So my favorite type to talk to, because you know I'm all about it working well for both of us, for me and for them, would be frequent transaction businesses. That's how I would phrase it. So all types of restaurants, salons, Basically, any type of thing that an individual is going to want to do on a regular basis, you know, mm-hmm. a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis. Dentists can also work because you know, everyone's got to find one.
Right. And, so you got to find the pediatrician. I got to find the doctor. I got to find the dentist.
Doggy daycare. But right. but in a nutshell,
the vet, right.
The vet. In a nutshell, restaurants are sort of the power
alley. That's kind of the main. Yes. And there's a million restaurants.
Absolutely. And, you know, we for each zip code, we try to have a very strong offering across all the major cuisine types, you know, as you
So is it exclusive? Like, am I, if I'm the pizza place, then you're not getting, there's no other pizza
that's right.
offering?
That's right. And for that zip code, that's correct.
Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm. So then you, it is your best interest to kind of lock it down, right?
Yeah, lock it down, keep it, run a good business, you know, focus on making the great pizza, and we'll basically get a steady stream of new mover residents coming through.
And what does a steady stream mean? Like, is that 10, 20, 30, 100?
Right. So I've got a...
I'm sure it varies zip code. Zip code, right?
Yeah, I've got a burger joint in Brookhaven, Lucky's. They kind of do a thing with dogs and sports and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
They average nearly one a day. They're absolutely killing it with the program. The more upscale you go in terms of the food offering, like a fine dining, you're going to get less redemptions. But of course, you're going to make more money on a per meal basis. Right. And then, you know, stuff like hair salons, two, three, four redemptions a week. And we do require to be in the package, a straight gift, first time welcome to the neighborhood gift. And
where it's not like buy one, get one free.
Not
buy
one, get one
free. It's
got to
be just like here.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Take this.
That's right.
You win no matter what.
You win no matter what.
I'll send you my address.
And the beautiful thing, I mean, you think about it, like let's say you're a pizzeria, right? And
so what's a pizza gift?
Might be a free large pizza, you know.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And we would advise them to just go, you know, let's not get picky on this and make it one item or a cheese pizza. Give the individual or more likely the family what they want, impress them. Now they're going to eat pizza twice a week and they're going to stay on average 5.5 years.
Right.
That's the math, right? 5.5 years is how long people tend to stay after they move in a given residence. And then the sort of the business takeaway from that is even the best businesses are going to lose 15 to 20% of their customers every year because people move away.
Right.
So how are you going to backfill them? That's where we come in.
And then so you're offering, so like the pizza place is going to offer the free pizza. I redeem that. So that's it for your relationship with that new mover. And so you're not offering them other things. There's not kind of, hey, check in it every month or is that different service?
We do offer some attendant services like that, like a like an electronic frequent visitor thing we can set them up with. Mm-hmm. And when they redeem the certificate that they get in the mail, there's a like a little QR code that's scanned and we can do a follow-up. Hey, thank you for stopping in. There can be a secondary offering on that follow-up mail out. And that again, another sort of psychology thing is when you positively touch someone two or three times, it really starts to lock in that relationship. Mm-hmm. As I always say, I want them to come and fall in love with your Supreme Pizza or your bartender or your waiter or waitress, your vibe that you've got going on. The best way to do that is to get them back is to impress them twice in a row. Mm-hmm. Then they're getting close to getting locked in.
So now, do you have any best practices you can share if somebody has a new business?
Sure. So, all new businesses have to get out and they have to market themselves kind of early. So you definitely want to plan. You want to hire well and not pay too much for your overheads and that kind of thing. And particularly if you have a restaurant or a fairly low discretionary cost business, you want to give that product away the first time for free to basically get people coming back. The nice thing about doing that one time upfront and free is that nobody's going to expect that going forward. So it's a much better business practice than perpetually discounting your product through a series of 20% off, 30% off coupons. Or it's a much better practice than if I pick on a chicken wing place doing 25-cent wings, on Tuesdays and Thursdays in perpetuity, far better to basically say, hey, come on in, you know, try 15 wings for free, and then go from there. And also, when people go and redeem these, they rarely show up by themselves. They almost always bring somebody. They're anxious to make new neighbors, new friends.
Right.
And so you can kind of build from there. And then if you do a good job, they're just going to be running their mouth with all this positive word of mouth because they're brand new to the neighborhood, they're meeting people, and that's a sweet spot for you.
Now, do you help in any way regarding social media with the companies, or do you have any advice for companies regarding social media, or is this?
We do. So this is something that a number of our businesses approached us in the past couple of years ago, like, hey, can you help me with this? You know, I make a great pizza or I do a great job of cutting hair, but man, this Facebook and this Twitter and Instagram is just not what I do. So basically, yeah, we can take over their social media, and we post on their behalf a couple times a week. And then we can also handle any type of responses for their social media reputation. So someone leaves a glowing review on Yelp, we can piggyback on that and thank them, or vice versa. We can professionally answer it for them. So this is a service that kind of grew a couple of years ago because companies said, you do a great job directing customers to us, but I really just want to focus on making pizzas and cutting hair. Can you handle this for us?
Now, let's talk a little bit about you getting this franchise. Had you always been in this kind of business, or what was your backstory?
A little bit. So grew up in the Panhandle, Florida restaurant business with my parents. Then, you know, undergrad in finance, and then MBA overseas and management consulting and big business with you know, Fortune 500 companies. And I was kind of looking for that transitional piece of business that would not put me on an airplane quite as much, frankly. Right. And at the same time, you know, I had a lot of experience with business concepts and marketing and what have you through, you know, management consulting with the top tier firms and big business. So I thought, this is a good way that I can actually kind of give back to the community, be more locally grounded, and, you know, basically help people.
Yeah. So you spend your day, you don't have to execute any of the work, right? You're not packing envelopes and mailing the stuff, right? Is that what the franchisor does?
That's
and
exactly then you're, right.
You're kind of the boots on the ground, kind of making the relationship with the local businesses and serving them.
That's exactly right. So all the back end is handled. There's probably 20 or 30 different databases that are scrubbed to get a real good list of new mover residents, and all the gift certificate designs and the social media work is done corporately using, you know, economies of scale to do it really well. As a franchise owner, it's my job to find those businesses that are going to be successful with the program.
So you have to meet them, convince them to give this a try for a period of time, then you have to sell them.
Exactly.
And then
right.
Once it's sold, then you hand them to like an account rep who kind of helps them design the offering and do all that, or you have to do that as well?
So there's a back end that helps with the gift certificate design. There's really not that much back end work that has to be done. The business owner, the pizzeria, the hair salon, they have to approve the final proof, and I'll work with them on that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, basically we'll monitor the performance together. It's a 6-month agreement. So because there's scanning of the redemptions and a way to track it, we kind of both know after 4, 5, 6 months if it's working really well or not at all. And, you know, I keep it really simple. If it's not working, I'll be the first to put a hand up and say, you know, let's not move forward beyond this.
Right. And then, so then you're just out there every day just knocking on doors, or like which businesses have opened? And
yes. So it's a mixture of, you know, just flat, you know, walking around, talking to people. Phone calls, some email. We do some email campaigns. A number of individuals love to go to welcomeatservices.com and download the free ebook about how to market better and how to target market.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, I'll get information that someone wants to talk and find out more. You know, maybe it's a new cycle bar that's opening up with one of those fitness, you know, pedaling kind of bicycle.
So you have, like, how many exclusive slots are there in a Welcome Mat?
Sure. So we max out the number of certificates in a gift certificate package at around 20. And again, we spread those by types of business. So we may have a Mexican restaurant, a pizza place, a hair cutting salon, a oil change place, and on and on. And again, it is possible to get exclusivity for that type of business in that package. But we, you know, realistically, around 20 is about what we like to put. And you know, most of the time, a successful package has, you know, anywhere from 5 to 12.
And that's going out once a month?
It goes out once a month, and a new mover resident gets it one time and one time
only. One time only.
That's right.
And if somebody wants to learn more, if they're a business in town that wants to participate?
Sure. There's a wealth of information and testimonials on welcomeatservices.com. Or please email me, Steve Petmiller. And so that's spetmiller at welcomeatservices.com. SPEPMILLER at welcomeatservices.com, and love to have a chat.
And then welcomeatservices.com is the main website for all over the country, and then they can drill down to you from there as well?
That's correct. Yes.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Can you hang out with us? We've got one more guest.
Love to.
This is the guy who made the grand entrance.
Grand entrance. Late entrance.
late entrance. He missed the whole pregame show. We gave out gifts, took pictures. You missed
everybody
all that.
Everybody was drinking and
was drinking. Right? He missed all that. Right? That's on him. Next time he'll know. Welcome, Alex Membrillo.
Membrillo. Sounds like embryo. Looks like quesadilla.
Okay. That sounds good. You've said that before, I bet. And you're with Cardinal Digital Marketing.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So
can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing for folks?
Yeah. So I started the agency right out of Georgia State University.
Georgia State. My kid goes there.
Oh, right.
So you're going to hire him?
Best school in Georgia.
He needs a job. You're going to hire him?
Is he a marketing?
Communications.
All right, cool. Cool. Yeah, I actually mentor a bunch of students from there in the honors program.
He's in the honors program.
All right, good. Well, we'll probably actually meet. We were just at a reception too long ago. Good. So, yeah, I started the agency almost a decade ago now with a business partner of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of college in 2009. There were no jobs.
Right. Choose yourself, man.
That's right.
It happens. Yeah. Hire yourself. You gave yourself
a job.
Right.
There was no heroic story. It was like, there's no other options. We either go sell landlines in the Verizon store or we start helping small businesses with marketing. So we had made some websites in high school and seen an SEO proposal before. So we're like, you know what? We can do this.
How hard is this?
How hard could it be? So we started making 100 cold calls a day the day after my son was born in 2009. And we sold a little ice cream van first. And I don't know why the heck an ice cream van needs SEO or a website.
Because he's a moving target, right? Yeah.
Good one. I never thought of that. So anyway, so we knocked it out of the park with that one. We're like, all right, maybe this is a viable business. So we kept going. And then we landed on some more clients and kind of grew up from there. And from there, you know, we've become not a full service agency because we're small. Mm-hmm. We're not big. I'd like to say we're good. And we focus on multi-location businesses specifically and mostly healthcare and restaurants. And I have to tag on, Brookhaven is the best city in Atlanta.
You live there too?
I live there. We're looking for a home.
What's going on here?
It's definitely the fastest growing city in Atlanta because the home values have skyrocketed, which has helped my townhome, but is not helping the next one.
The next round.
That we're looking at. Yeah. So we might have to move into Hogwarts.
Yeah. Is your dorm still available?
Yeah.
So now, what's some of the mistakes that a business makes when it comes to SEO?
Holy smokes. There's a lot, right? Well, it's not just SEO. It's advertising in general. I think that's a good question. I think the biggest mistake they make is they don't get the right help from the beginning. They go with the cheap help. And that's what we usually run into. And then we have to like clean up the mistakes and they're paying double.
So you fix their nephew's mistakes.
It's usually nephew like, or
well,
cousin.
I got this relative that's 20. So I'm going to put him in charge of my digital marketing.
That's right. Yep.
And when he read a blog once.
He read a blog. Everybody's a pro now. And actually, you know, our industry has matured. So there are a lot of great freelancers on Upwork now. And that didn't exist when we started. So we were much more in demand back in the day. We're not as cool now. And so we've kind of migrated out of just SMBs and we work with Papa John's and Tropical Smoothie Cafe and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the bigger mistake some of the mid-level to enterprise clients will make is not understanding the full cycle of their customer or patient. So every month we'll go to them and we'll say, hey, listen, you spent 10 grand and we drove you 100 leads, but that's all we know. We don't know how many of those leads became patients. And so Cardinal has worked on technology over the years that helps our clients better understand how many actual customers or patients we're driving, not just how many leads.
So you're taking the person through the whole customer journey?
The whole thing. And our clients are getting a better understanding of how much actual revenue is generated from marketing, not just leads. So it's kind of a black box and we're one of the few agencies that's building technology.
So you're looking at the lifetime value of the customer from kind of the whole life cycle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a different metric than just that first thing they bought.
Correct. Yeah, most agencies are reporting on cost per lead, volume of leads. That's what they're going back to their clients with. We are going back to how many patients you drive. So cost per patient, value of patient, return on investment, and actual numbers.
So when you're looking at kind of the return on investment in marketing in that way, it would seem like the value is much higher, but you might have to be a lot more patient.
Good one, Lee. I love patient.
That's the healthcare reference.
That was a double meaning.
Absolutely. And sometimes the numbers don't look good in our favor, but that really helps educate the clients as well. Because a lot of marketing companies are going and saying, you're driving tons of leads.
Right. But they're like,
but they don't feel it.
Well, or the leads are meaningless.
They're meaningless.
I mean, like if you're looking at a metric, like we call them cosmetrics here. You can use that.
Okay. Cosmetic
metrics that are, the customer doesn't know what they really want. So they think they do because they've heard that term. Like in our case, it's how many people are listening? Okay, listeners are important, But isn't it more important to get someone to buy your stuff?
That's right.
So if I could give you, if I gave you the choice, would you like lots of listeners or lots of people to buy your stuff? What do you pick?
Yeah, obviously buy my stuff. I love that cosmetic, huh?
Right. So sometimes they aim at the wrong thing. And right. It's only because they don't know. Right. This is what they've heard or they think that that's important. Yep. But ultimately, what's really important is the customer. How do you get the customer? How do you serve the customer? How do you make sure the customer sticks around for a while?
Yep. And that's why we've invested quite a bit into a developing technology that helps fill that.
So now how does that work? So like say I got a smoothie restaurant that's got 15 locations around the country. I have a crappy digital marketing program.
Yeah.
So I call you guys. What are you doing for me?
Yeah. So we will actually plug into your CRM or your POS system. And so we'll know of the people that were served digital advertising, of the people that were served digital ads, how many people actually came into the store and how many people purchased from the ads that were created and shown online.
So that means I have to have an offering that has some sort of a redemption where you know that they were... Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the technology is getting better around it.
Do I have to give free pizza? Like Steven makes me give free pizza.
We give lots of Papa John's pizza away. Still the best pizza shop in the country.
Still the best.
Still the best.
Around the best. So there's a code of some kind so you can measure, okay, this person moved because of that. Do you help them with that compelling offer? Because, you know, it can't be just like 10% off.
Well, companies like Papa John's will have brand dictated messaging and creative. Okay.
So you got to work with that.
We work with them. Yeah. Unfortunately, Papa doesn't let us influence his coupon decisions. No, not yet.
So were you part of the NFL situation? You
have I have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with that. So now for you, when you're serving the franchisee, are you working down to the franchisee or you're working with the franchisor?
Yeah, both.
So if you're working with the franchisee, they have to do what they're told, right? But how much discretion do they have to say, like, okay, for you, you should be targeting these high schools. You should be doing...
Yeah, so we developed a software platform called Jimoto, and it enables franchisees to log into our platform and select the radius they want to target around their store. Mm-hmm. And so we will serve Google and Facebook ad display ads around 1 or 2 miles within their store on Buford Highway, let's say in Brookhaven.
Right.
And to make sure it's not dispersed around the whole region. And then that same franchisee goes and logs into our platform and sees how many people saw the ad, but then they also see how many people purchased from the amount that they put into the ads.
Now, do you capture once that person's bought? So now I know it's Adam. Adam bought because he's a big Papa John's fan.
Yeah, I love pizza.
Adam bought. And so now does that store know, okay, this is Adam's. This is his phone number. I got his email. I got all this stuff.
That's right.
Yep. So he has that. So now he's part of that store's CRM. So that's they can remarket to him.
Yeah. And that's why getting the first people in the door as soon as they've moved is so critical, because then you can remarket to them. And then we create whole different remarketing lists, and they get different offers. So Adam won't get as lucrative as an offer the second time around because he's already hooked.
Sorry, Adam.
He's already hooked on the good stuff.
I didn't even get the first one, so I'm kind of mad at Met Services.
That's why it's important to have a lot of aliases.
Absolutely.
So you always get the best offer.
Oh yeah.
So now you're helping build a database for that store so they can keep marketing and keep kind of serving that group until you wear them down.
Until we wear them down.
And then can you share some success stories? Something that you started, maybe they were an ice cream store. And then
maybe they're an ice cream store. Oh, yeah.
They're Ben and Jerry's.
It's Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah, we have tons. So we were the first marketing company in the country to do programmatic display advertising for Papa John's. And this Jimoto platform that I've spoken about is the first franchise advertising platform of its kind. And we're working on one for healthcare, which is our main vertical now, which is really exciting. But the main thing I wanted to talk about that has been pretty successful and really exciting, you mentioned Amazon moving here.
I did. Adam did.
Okay.
Right.
Well, you talked about one of the main same things they're going to need to look at is where maybe the pizza is going to need to be
downtown.
That's
where I said me. Yeah, I wasn't talking about Amazon. I don't care about that.
Yeah. You don't care about Amazon moving here?
I don't think they're going to move here.
Oh, why is that?
Do you think they're going to move D.C., Virginia?
Do you think this would be the best spot for them?
I think this would be a great spot for them, but I think they're going to be in the D.C., Virginia. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. You need, when you're going to create monopolies in every industry, you need a lot of legislation.
You own the Washington Post. You want to keep your eye on the politicians that are going to make the rules that are going to have a bigger impact than anything in any city other than Washington, D.C. are going to be able to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But we still have a lot of advantages over Washington, D.C.
We do.
Better weather, more affordable.
Believe me, I am pro-Atlanta, pro-Georgia. That's all we do in here is talk about how awesome it is. But I think that for specifically Amazon and what they're trying to accomplish, they're going to be more interested in influencing some D.C. politicians through the $50 billion
And they're also going to be influencing the cost of living, too. So... Mm-hmm. That's another big thing.
Well, they're going to move. If they moved here, it would be probably the south side, I would think.
It'd be in downtown Atlanta, the Gulch.
Right.
So anyway, so we have a big campaign going, Prime Up ATL, and encourage everybody to visit it, primeupatl.com. We've been in the Business Chronicle with this campaign, and we have all kinds of ads running through Atlanta and Seattle targeting Amazonians trying to get a groundswell support over there.
It's just to get Amazon coming here? That's the purpose of this campaign. So we're going all in to get Amazon here.
That's right. We've got billboards on Peachtree and on the connector, and it's a whole big thing.
Fantastic.
So cool. So, okay, I'll go in on that.
Thank you.
There it is. What is it? Prime Up?
Prime ATL. Up ATL.
So what does Prime Up mean?
Prime Up, like Rise Up.
Prime Up.
Yeah, that's right.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Rise Up. Man.
Yeah, it's got a lot of publicity
over there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And we have really cool sayings on all the billboards.
What are they?
From raindrops to drop tops. It's a Migos reference. And we have...
Bezos loves Migos.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
He's going to love them. And we've got... we're not going to lose to Boston this time.
Nice.
You should have Seattle stuff. What stuff that
in Seattle? So we run different ad campaigns in Seattle. And so we're going to have planes flying over the Amazon headquarters. And we're going to be handing out King of Pops and Chick-fil-A out there in a few weeks.
That's just Papa between John's. Us.
Well, they're not. They're a Louisville business,
Look,
but
yeah, have everything.
We'll hand out Coke Zero Sugars.
There you go.
Nice.
And so, Prime Up ATL. This was your brainchild.
Yeah. We were driving through downtown, and I said I really want to do something to help Atlanta, and I really want Amazon here. So, I think
Amazon here would be tremendous, and then I think we're doing so good. The privilege that we have in here in the studio is that we get to talk to people in different sectors of industry. And one of the strengths of Atlanta compared to other cities is that we're not tied to one kind of industry. Some cities, if this one industry blows up, then it's game over, then their economy tanks.
Yep.
We are the leaders in so many areas that are so disparate. It doesn't matter. One, two, three could blow up and we'd still be okay.
I love
Very
that.
True. Yeah.
And that's what separates us, I think, from everybody else. Then you throw on an international airport. Then you throw on the port in Savannah. Mm-hmm. Don't neglect the port. If there's one thing in Georgia that doesn't get enough love, in my mind, is the port in Savannah. If it wasn't for that port, this city and this state would be a totally different place.
Yep. It's undervalued.
It is. It's that they need a PR. You want to help somebody? Help Savannah, because that port is the lifeblood. If that dredging of that port, when that was in danger, that was short-sighted.
Catastrophic. Yep.
It would have been catastrophic because they just moved to the next city.
Yes.
It would all be in South Carolina or Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So believe me, that's all we do. So
yep.
When we're talking to the supply chain folks or the manufacturing folks or the fintech folks or the healthcare IT folks or the film folks, these are all multi-billion dollar industries that are here in Atlanta that are all totally different from each other, but we can all work together. So that's why an Amazon moving here would be tremendous.
It's tremendous. And Bezos wants to have to be an ATL Wood. He's doing the whole thing. The guy's on commercials.
No, that's, I'll tell you, having the film here is only helping that. That's not hurting that.
Definitely,
and that industry, it didn't exist 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, this is one of my pet peeves, they're complaining about that too much of the tax benefits are helping these LA firms.
Short-minded.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. All the ancillary businesses that pop up, and you have Third Rail Studios in Doraville, and you've got so much money being pumped
in. If that thing went away, those people, guess what? They would go away just as quickly.
Sure.
It would disappear as fast as it got
without
here.
Without the tax credit, worth nothing. And now I think California's passing a more aggressive tax credit to get them back, because we now have the most feature films of anywhere in the world.
That's right. Last year was the most motion pictures filmed than anywhere else in the world.
That's right. And how cool is it? You're watching Baby Driver or Black Panther and you see the High Museum. And everybody cheers in the movie.
Right.
That's
you saw,
thing.
Look, at the end of fine. At the end of The Avengers was the Rialto Theater.
Hold on,
right?
I haven't seen it. I'm going to see it tonight.
Okay. Well, no, it's a shot.
I haven't seen it either.
The last shot
saw it last night.
Is The GS is GSU.
They have the Rialto right there. Very
it's
cool.
In the last
that's
shot.
In Avengers. You know, we were running, my now wife, I got married on Saturday. We were running through Chastain Park months ago, and Robert Downey Jr. is walking his baby through there. And I'm just like, and I stop and I'm like, oh my gosh, Iron Man's right there. I mean, how cool is that? You get these, you know, awkward.
Right. Awkward movie. I'll tell you, I had a couple. One, I work out at a gym right near here in Sandy Springs. Gerard Butler.
Wow.
Bench pressing next to me.
Yeah. Bench pressing you.
Right.
No, we were bench pressing the same amount.
I was about to say, come on, we need a little more insight on how much weight he moved around.
No, it wasn't that much. next,
shots we were at
one-eared stag in Decatur. I don't know if you've ever been. It's in Inman Park area. Chris Evans, Paul Rudd, and Zach Galifianakis.
So
in one table.
Really
that's
cool.
That's an awesome
dish. That's so table. Fun, man. I mean, how cool is that? Right. We have that here. So yeah, don't end the tax credit.
And my kid at GSU sees they're filming in that every almost
all the time,
weekly.
Right?
Weekly.
Yeah.
You know, I actually have a lunch about the tax credit today. So yeah, I'm going to learn and how to.
It's critical. Critical for that industry. Gaming. Gaming.
That
touches
GWA
gaming,
Alliance.
Esports, all that stuff is touched by that tax credit.
I didn't know that esports was affected by it. That's interesting.
That's all part of that tax credit. It's not just film and TV, and it's beyond that. And I think it might even touch the record industry.
Yeah. I love it. They actually, when we moved in, I got an office on Peachtree Street a few years back. They came and filmed a movie that was released in Amazing Motion Picture. I had my arm next to the guy from Girls. Yeah, I have my arm in
Adam
it.
Driver?
No, it's not Kylo Ren. what was his name? Alex Karpovsky, the boyfriend. Right. And so me and him did scenes together.
Of independent movies.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's maybe not A-list.
But... He's not A-list. he's in independent.
It's cool. And so anyway, so yeah.
So we've you all and him are buddies. Mm-hmm. They filmed here.
They had our name.
And this, what was it? Paula Abdul shot a movie in here?
Yeah.
Really?
They also
like a month or two ago.
Yeah. Wow. They film at Oglethorpe a lot too. Like walking through campus, a lot of times they would change, like, because walking down towards our library, it says Oglethorpe University on the lamps. Whenever they would film a movie with another university, just you would be walking around and we have different university names on the lamps. And they also filmed some basketball show when Shaq and Charles Barkley were on campus one day, too.
It's very cool.
I drove by the Intercontinental on Peachtree and they were filming something yesterday.
Yeah. Every day you see the lightning truck, the lightning rentals.
Look for those yellow signs with the black type. That means they're filming somewhere.
I love it. It's huge.
So, Alex, if somebody wanted to learn more about Cardinal, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
CardinalDigitalMarketing.com or go to primeupatl.com and sign the petition. Sign the petition. We're at 317 already and we're going out to Seattle in 3 weeks.
And then you're gonna present him with something?
Yeah, so Amazon, instead of presentations, they do proposals, right? And you have to like type up the whole thing and then you read it before you go into the meeting with them. So we're going to have a whole thing. We're going to fly planes and put a bit.ly on it so that they go to it. And
man.
Yeah, Jeff will call me into his office and
probably
we'll see what happens next.
Acquire your company for $1 billion.
Outstanding.
Yeah. This is too low.
So we'll all sign this. We'll make a promise.
Thank you.
Adam, are you going to make the promise?
Of what?
You'll sign his petition.
Oh, yeah. I already have it pulled up.
Say that?
Yeah.
Making things happen.
318.
It shall be done.
PrimeUpATL.com. All right, Alex. Thank you so much for being part of the show. See, it was almost worth the wait. Do you think it was worth the wait?
I think it was.
All right.
That's what Gina tells me.
Well, thank you all for being part of the show today. And thank you, Katie Galley, for making this all possible. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. We'll